The Tigers are premiers for the 12th time in their history. Rioli, this time, 4, 3, 2, 1, it's a goal! One of the Tigers! Whoa, what about that? A 4-3-60 in slow motion, just down your marks!
Oh, jeez.
He's had four shots on goal, and that was his worst.
Big man takes the mark, and it's all too much for Leon.
Well, he's an accurate set shot, the big fella. 4 out of 5 so far this year.
Make it 5 out of 6. The skipper goes and goes, and then tries to lace it out, but no, he doesn't. He kicks a goal. How sweet it is, eh?
Pickett lines up.
Going off everywhere at the moment. Pickett's having an influence in his first game of footy.
Started with him.
Yep. Dusty's dangerous. The swarming pressure is overwhelming.
Didn't want the body contact. He kept the body free. The pickup's unbelievable. That's a play of the game.
We underestimate the footy brain and Dusty Martin. Look at his physical
ability. And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And so the battle between good and evil is, you know, it's one of the great sort of stories that human beings tell ourselves, that it's how we make sense of the world. And so I think much of our life is
sports fan. I didn't know we played Carlton this week.
No, well, stick with me. So much of our time as sports fans, we're reacting both emotionally and intellectually to what's happening before us, and trying to work out sort of how we feel, you know, that. And obviously, when it comes to the Richmond Football Club, you know, we're the goodies in a default position. But I think we're capable of shades of grey in terms of how we think about the opposition, and for the first time since the game that, well, one of the two games that dare not speak its name in Cairns, I started to think about the Suns in a different way on the weekend. Or Monday, or whenever it was.
yes, it was on Monday night. It's funny. Look, I didn't, Nick. Like, I was just getting flashbacks to those two awful games, and, like, I just hated them for that sort of, you know, for the same, you know, the AFL love child, privileged younger sibling who's had all the presents given to them. So I was having just flashbacks to those two earlier games. So, look, aside from the fact that Brando was playing for them, I had, that was very on
brand. I know. Look, the Brando bit was everything. Everything about it, up to the point where he kicked the goal. He kicked a quite important goal. Was heartwarming before the game, after the game, you know, and seeing him do his thing was an otherwise life-affirming moment. And it would have been up to the point where if he'd kicked the winning goal, yeah, that would have been less cute.
Yeah, it was probably not completely cute when Pickett tried to decapitate him, but you know, I'm glad those draws. There did seem to be a little bit of extra juice in that, but yeah, Pickett probably doesn't have strong takes on Brando because he was only his teammate for half a year. But Nick, I feel like I interrupted your core point.
Well, I was going in two different directions. Are we the baddies? And if so, is Tom Lynch Darth Vader? And B, I think the Suns are kind of cute. They're still kind of cute, and they play attractive football and have good young players. But you've heard me rant so often, so many times, about how the AFL's completely prostituted its draft system for the sake of its favoured children. And, you know, it was always, GWS was always the preferred expansion child, and the, and they were happy to let the Queensland teams wither on the vine. And it was only a sort of a belated revelation of what a debacle. You know, they were nearly 10 years in with no more members than when they'd started. The team was no more competitive than when they started. And it was just a, it was a feeder team, most prominently for the 2019 Richmond Premiership team. And so the AFL, in failing to do what it should have done in having a mature team of capable people in charge a long time ago, sort of did what they always did and fall back on the easy solution of draft concessions. And it's not quite at GWS levels, but they had 12 first-round draft picks running around on Monday night. And the symmetry that we had 12 players running around who weren't selected in as 18-year-olds in the national draft, it did strike me.
Now, Nick, you have had that rant many times in this podcast, but never once have I asked you to stop, and never will I ask you to stop in the future. And, you know, unlike your umpiring rants, this one, like, I could not agree more. And I think it's a very valid point. And, you know, and it's something that's sort of the growth process, that if you told me 7-8 years ago that we'd be winning these games despite this extraordinary difference in the capital invested in the team, you know the people who said who say, oh, it's all about culture and the draft picks, I mean, like, none of that is sustainably borne out in any sort of rational look at well-run leagues with the draft. Like, once the AFL worked out the draft, and that happened about 2000, the draft was incredibly important to building teams, but yet somehow we've managed to buck the system, and we did it again on Monday night. And Nick, I don't know how you felt about the game, but there's just something special, and we will come to Tom Lynch, he's not Darth Vader. Look, come from behind wins. I know scoring 14 points and a half is not, you know, is not...
Not ideal, no.
But, look, there's just something, like, running over a team, it's always fun, right? Like, I really enjoyed the game.
Yep, I'll agree with that. I certainly enjoyed parts of the game. First quarter was pretty painful. They were committed to the deep flood, and, you know, thankfully the Camden McIntosh shots from 45 meters had a happy ending eventually. But it was pretty frustrating for there for a while. And if we hadn't have won, I don't think we would have found the whole game as endearing as from the sounds of it. You're thinking about it.
Oh yeah, like I was having total flashback. Like, I was really worried the longer it ground on that we would never establish dominance on the scoreboard, and then they'd do, you know, Lukosius or someone else, you know, all those first round draft picks, as they've done GWS and Gold Coast, and multiple times beating us in games where we've dominated the inside 50. I think all those games we lost to the Suns, we won the inside 50s easily, but they played a deep flood. And then, you know, the thing about first round draft picks is they're really fast and they can kick really far. So when they're very good at playing rebound football, and, you know, there was always a worry that that would happen. But look, they got a bit worried and a bit lucky in the first quarter. But actually, Nick, on the expected shots, because we had a few shots marked on the goal and things like that, we were much bigger winners, and we dominated the inside 50s 54-29, and really it was just it was actually natural justice that we won. And a key part of that was, you know, it starts that we sort of got done in the centre against Port, and this week, Nick, you know, we didn't dominate the centre clearances, but we just won them. But, you know, Trent Cotchin had 15 contested possessions, about as many first touches in the centre square. And, like, it just made such a difference. And, you know, obviously, Soldo had a slightly better game. But it made such a huge difference to have, I think, Cotchin and Graham are really the headline story here for Stats Nerds. We'll talk about Graham in a sec, but I think having Cotchin back...
I certainly agree with the Cotchin part. He's looked great the last 2 weeks. Right. I certainly understand wanting to keep him in cotton wool after 3-4 hamstring strains in the last 18 months, but...
Yeah, look, we only had 27 clearances, and he had 9 of them. Like, that's an incredible domination.
He looks super fresh, and look, credit to him, given he's attracted a lot of publicity that you wouldn't wish on anybody in the current circumstance.
It's funny you say that, Nick. I'm actually recording this podcast in posse socks.
So, look, I feel bad because we didn't mention him in the preview, but in a year at which the race for All Australian Ruck is extremely competitive, Jared Witts has been very, very solid as the sort of, you know, he's about fifth, sixth best ruckman in the competition, but he's the biggest full-time ruckman in the AFL, and no joke. And us winning the hit-outs over the course of the day, that was a pretty solid effort.
Yeah, look, let's not beat around the bush. We had 26 hit-outs. Soldo had 24 of them. It was a solo effort, but yeah, look, the contrast to the Port game where we just got dominated in the centre square. Now, you know, Port are a very mature big midfield, and the Suns are a slightly fairer matchup. But you know, having Cotchin and Soldo, a bit of chemistry there, it just, like, start at the centre, start at the first bounce, it made a huge difference. They're not high scoring games, so the centre square really does matter. And it was one of the first things Dimon talked about in the press conference. I did want to talk about Jack Graham, Nick. And I'm really interested to hear that, you know, you didn't have quite as positive a take. So I've been pretty down on Jack Graham this year.
He was good.
He's been mediocre this year. He's looked slow. He's looked sluggish. You know, that early in the year, the switch to the halfback line didn't work well. But this week, he took off his shoulder strapping. I just thought he was more physical around the contest. He looked a bit more lithe. He looked a bit less hampered. And he had 11 contested possessions, which is season high for him. Only 16 overall. But he still had the Jack Graham level 59 pressure points, which is sort of like, it was like 20% more than anyone else had on the game. I felt like there was both the usual defensive effort, but there was some excitement on the offensive end. So that's why I was quite excited by Jack Graham's game, and I thought he won some quality contested ball, which he hasn't been in the rest of the year. So, perhaps I've rated it, but do you think?
It was definitely a good game. I actually had in my notes that, it was quite a wide open and athletic game, and I thought that, I think our team athleticism's normally very good. You know, we've got a team with the running power that suits the MCG. There were times at which I thought a few of our players were a bit fanned out. That, you know, Graham's not at his best bursting into space. But Jake Arts had bad matchups against, you know, the likes of Will Power, who, of course, is another first-round draft pick, like, just against guys who were taller and more athletic than he was. So, Yeah, I had mixed feelings. He was certainly part of the coalition of the willing.
Yeah, maybe I enjoyed it because it was just he bought a contested ball presence to the midfield, and you know, I was interested actually. A lot of people didn't like Lambert's game on social media. Just, you know, Richmond fans I respect, but he had 10 contested possessions, and he was the third rated player on the champion data metrics, which is he's generally pretty close to how people perceive the game. And yeah, like, and his pressure acts were good, his tackles were fine. Like, I thought that was for Ken Lambert being the sort of, he's the barometer of the team, that this Conrad Marshall theory. But, you know, when, and perhaps it's because when we're playing functionally, they can't focus on Ken Lambert and he gets off the hook. But I think, you know, Ken Lambert definitely benefited having Cochin back.
Oh, absolutely. And yeah, and again, if teams are focusing on Bolton and Martin as well, and we can add Edwards and Prestia to that list before, well, eventually.
Yeah, and that's a really good point, that, like, you know, remember to celebrate the wins when it's not the traditional people who've been kicking, you know. Dusty had 4 score involvements, and Bolton, who's not traditional, but this year has been great, only had 3. Like, our two most attacking creative midfielders were, well, you know, clearly they were sat on, they were given extra pressure, but we still had no trouble eventually grinding out the win. So, you know, I take that as a good sign.
Eventually.
Yeah.
It was pretty painful. I feel like we've gone too long without talking about Oleg Markov.
How correct do you think the People's Republic of Markov is? Like, how ideologically correct, and how well are they on doctrine, do you think?
Oh, look, I feel like the purity test was applied and passed with flying colours. On Monday night, I did shout out to Brodie Lancaster from the Fangirls podcast, who said that Oleg Markov's moustache belongs on the label of a bottle of brown liquor, which I enjoyed.
There are a lot of good... if only Oleg was half as good as the calls on him on social media, he'd be a cool Australian.
Yeah. I really liked his game on the replay. I thought he did a lot of useful things. And maybe in what we're saying about some people being suited to a wide-open and athletic game,
yes,
he's really well-suited to a wide-open athletic game.
Yeah, I think, like, he would be... number one, if I was just sight unseen of people who are more likely to play better in the seniors than the reserves, Oleg would be one, and he's never really shown it, and I think this game was the one. You know, his explosiveness, his ability to read the play, taking a few set marks, then burst off the line, they were great. There was a moment in the fourth quarter where, did you see where Dusty got the contested ball, and it was the strangest thing, that he had position A, he had such a good position to get the contested ball, that the Suns player pulled out, and Oleg thought that the Suns player was going to get it, so ran round the football. Like, it was the strangest little bit of play, and, you know, he still just doesn't get football intuitively, the contested aspect of it. So I'm probably not describing it very well. So there were moments where I went, oh, like, that's going to be a problem in a heavily contested game in the fourth quarter, but there was a lot to like.
Look, the Politburo news report mentioned nothing of the incident that you're referring to, so I'm assuming it's fake news.
And expect me to issue a 3-hour criticism session next week where I apologise for my doctrinal mistakes.
Speaking of players who are better in the seniors than their reserves, and also being super athletic, I enjoyed Noah Bolter's game.
Look, I'm I've been wanting to talk about him. He just continues to impress me. His ability, you know, his intercept marking. He's, did you see that second effort play where he kicked off his leg? He kicked the ball out in the inside 50, kicked it out, got the hand pass received, then used his left to spot up Dusty.
And did he spot up Dusty? Whew.
Yeah, look, he can kick, he can run, he can intercept mark. Like, you know, I'm loving, like, it's clearly an exaggeration, but it's not that he's following in Rance's footsteps, that Rance was a prelude to the Noah Bolter era. Yeah, I was quite positive about him last week, even after Charlie Dixon towed him up. I'm absolutely loving the Noah Bolter experience right now.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, going really well. The defense was good again. Like we held them
4th rated player, 10 intercepts.
Yeah.
Rankin was found out a little bit, I thought.
Yeah, just had trouble getting into the game. Like, he's a monster. He's a monster talent. You don't want to make big calls about him, but this was a speed bump.
He's clearly got the talent to be a future All-Australian, but I think that, you know, it's sort of, he was found out a bit that he was 18 years and he was playing against a team that's very mentally tough.
A very well-structured defence.
Yeah, and like he made mistakes that I'm sure he wouldn't normally make. On your point about Arts, he did go the entire first half without a possession, which, and considering... Castagna seems a bit all at sea the last couple of weeks. I don't know what's wrong.
Would you believe his season stats when you adjust for game time are pretty much identical?
Isn't
that true? I know, because I checked them in the expectation that he'd be a fair way down, and yeah, there was nothing to see.
Well, Nick, if I may bounce back to a positive about someone who I've been dying to talk about, one of my favourites, K-Mac, sort of 6th best player on the champion data ratings, almost 500 metres gained, 40 pressure acts, which is a lot for a winger.
It is.
Like, very solid game, good intercept marks. And Nick, I've got a K-Mac theory that why... So I've got a theory that, and I've heard, and I'm just bringing it up because other people have mentioned it to it too, and I've always thought that K-Mac wins critical positions, but he never really, it's never really reflected on the ratings, and I think it's because statistics don't really record what's a key swing. Like, they record contested possessions, and they record contested possessions that lead to a goal, but they don't really record what's a key swing moment where if the possession goes either way, you know, it's a break either way. Do you know what I mean? You know, the other team's going to get an inside 50 from it. And I think K-Mac is on the wing. It's one of the things he does. And, like, I'm really enjoying his... I think he's in really good form. I think he's feeling it. Like, he's clearly feeling it with his marking. And I'm loving his football.
Yeah, he's definitely playing. He's in good form the last 3 weeks or so. I thought both wingers were good. Pickett, you know, I was thinking about actually if you adjust Marlon Pickett's waffle stats for game time, they're not a million miles away from what he did. And I think, in a team with half a dozen players, I thought both wings were good.
Yeah, so we've got a good query today, which I'm going to do some more research, a couple of days ago on Twitter about doing an advanced metrics analysis of Pickett. Now, I want to do a bit more thought about it. Because I sort of bounce both sides of it. You know, like, it was a 13 possession game from a mid-field, like a winger, but, you know, so it's not great. But, you know, any time someone kicks a goal with their wrong foot, having rove the ball and then step someone, like, that's, you know, that's pretty good for a winger. You know, I know you're a big fan of mids who kick wingers who kick goals, Nick. And you know, pressure acts are fine, and he had five tackles. And as previously mentioned, he tried to decapitate Brando in a sort of random act. I don't know what that was about, but yeah. So yeah, I'm sort of, you know, I said that last week that I'm sort of in a foyer of being out on in the Marlon Pickett house, but yeah, I've put my hat down, and you know, I'm listening with interest.
Yeah, is he best 22?
Yeah, good question. So, is it him and Pickett? Is it him and Caddy fighting out for that wing position? I think maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've always look, which we just had a extremely enjoyable interview with Sarah Blank, where we just talked about this, but Caddy was crucial to the one key forward lineup. Because he can play bigger as a marking target, and I do think he gives you perhaps more versatility. But yeah, I don't know. Thankfully, we've got another month or so to find out. Because you know, the lesson of both premiership years is that, you know, it's a constant tinkering with the lineup right up until the final. Up to and including the grand final, looking at last year.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's sort of, like we say these things, best 22, and we talk about it in the Sarah Blake interview, and, you know, we stand up with this profound depth, but the best 22, the scientifically what the best 22 is never said, it changes every week, so, yeah.
Mm.
But yeah, look, I loved his goal. Like, his goal was, the commentators didn't talk it up that much, but I actually thought it was a really high score. So, you know, I'm appreciating that for what it is.
Well, and it was also, by that stage of the game, we'd had so many frustrating inside 50 injuries.
Yeah. Well, it was the much needed release. Now, Nick, Rimmont and Lynch kicked four goals between them. Rimmont, I like it. He's definitely showing that this is not his last year, I think.
No. Moving well, unless he chooses to retire. But no, yeah, I thought he was moving well and looked pretty frisky.
Yeah, and competent, and he took a few nice marks. And so the Lynch thing has become the social media thing of du jour. And look, you know, like the... We could go on about the media, but look, a lot of those people, they have to come up with a hot take every day, so Lynch became the hot take of the day. Don't take it too seriously. The thing I was interested in was a few Richmond supporters are really annoyed with him. And look, you know, Nick, I worry that I'm too influenced by 80s wrestling, but, like, you know, when you look back through football, like, what Tom Lynch has done, he's barely been rubbed out. People like the big bad key forwards, like they make football interesting, you know. Buddy, even Hawkins, Barry Hall, Plugger, Dermot Bergeron, like, and Lynch isn't as bad, hasn't been rubbed out for nearly as bad as any of those.
No,
but
you
like
know, Hawkins was so ill-disciplined as that when he got frustrated with an opponent in a semi-final. That he swung an elbow and collected him in the head. Like, that is the ultimate act of ill-discipline. And, yeah, Lynch is definitely pushing the boundaries, but, he hasn't elbowed anybody in the head. He hasn't punched somebody. And it does feel a bit storm in a teacup. Like, some of it's not the best look, but...
Look, it could escalate, but like, I'm just like, it is not like playing kick forward in the AFL, it's not like a normal job. Like, it's actually quite, it involves quite a lot of physical violence and intimidation. And Dimmer in the press conference said, like, he didn't, speaking of not taking a backward step, actually, Dimmer just occasionally lets out his competitive side. And when he was asked about that, like, there was no compromise in his voice. He said that we're going to play aggressive, assertive football. And if it's between yourself and the football, you go through him. And another football, and doing an interview after the game, another player repeated the phrase aggressive, assertive football. So it's clearly like a team thing. You know what, Nick? I definitely don't think that that's okay in anything other than professional contact sport. But I almost quite enjoy it. And the last thing I'll say about it is, wearing a Richmond jumper, I don't know. I believe Tom Lynch didn't do anything as bad as this either when he played for the Suns, but definitely wearing a Richmond jumper. Trent Cotchin has done a far more violent act wearing a Richmond jumper than Tom Lynch ever has. Trent Cotchin doesn't get the sort of the media, the media finger pointing. So, you know, let's keep things in perspective.
Yeah, and look, Tom Lynch clearly came out with a point to prove against Harris Andrews and played really well. And, you know, some people can just get head up in the physical stuff and can distract them from playing well. But honestly, it looks like, you know, for in the midst of a deeply strange and unusual season, if this is what Tomic needs to play well, then so be it. Don't do anything dumb and get yourself suspended, but otherwise, or ill-disciplined such that, you know, we're reversing free kicks or wasting shots at goal. But, you know, if he, being physical and having a presence is, as you say, part of the job. So, yeah, fill your boots.
Yeah, like that every key back and forth in the NFL gets hit 40 times a game, worse than that contact that was highlighted so much. Okay, now, Nick.
Yeah, how many times do you think Tom Lynch got punched on the hand in the past month?
Well, as I think Tigers are the first person to tweet this. But
probably a lot.
It beautifully highlighted that Tom Lynch also got punched in the guts in a very similar way. Now, Nick, and we've given that Stormman to take up far too much attention, but, you know, it is the issue of the day. What do you think of Stacky's game? So, it only 9 possessions, but the pressure acts were second best on the team, so not without merit, I hope.
No, and it's a bit of a story of the last few weeks of he's really cracking hard. He just doesn't quite have the magic from last year, which is annoying. Like, I think he's playing a more disciplined team game and not freelancing as much. But yeah, still, he hasn't quite put it all together yet. But yeah, and again, I'm not sure if he's best 22, but I certainly like having him in the team. And, you know, he's a second year player, but, you know, it's fun that he's not a finished product.
Yeah, and that's an excellent point. If you look at the AFL rankings, the highest risers and the biggest fallers, Bolton is a huge riser, one of the best in the AFL, and a huge faller. But the stack was always probably a bit unsustainable. It was off very few games, but look, he's still. I think your key point about him being young and he's learning his craft. And I did want to. You'll need to pick me up after this one with a positive one. Having loved Charles' game against Port, that was pretty, like, the rucking was bad. He had 3 possessions, kicked a nice goal. But yeah, I was really disappointed with Charles' game this week.
Yeah, look, what I said, you know, Jared Witts, he was up against the biggest ruckman in the AFL, and
And he felt it a few times too. Like there were, yeah. I can't believe he cocked a knee in the chest and got knocked over. Like, and the commentators didn't even mention it. Like, did they sort of any have concept that there's human beings and that having a 110-kilo guy jump in the air and knee you in the chest and knock you over? Like, that might be something to comment, because that would be literally the worst hit that many people get in their whole life. And you know, Joel just took that in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, yeah, six foot ten, 110 kilos. Yeah, that's not. Yeah, it. They didn't. They, you know, Witz ran rucked practically the whole game. Like no other son had a hit out. Yeah, it wasn't a great matchup. He's at a position where, you know, even if he's playing well, he doesn't win a ton of the ball. But yeah, he's still a work in progress.
Nick?
Ah, yeah, you've just come back.
Oh, sorry. So, Nick, so just while we're still on the rugs, guess how many gained Soldo had?
Not many.
Well, he had 9 possessions. It's okay. That's not what he's done. He's meant to do.
Kicked a nice goal.
With a free hook.
Yeah. What did you think of the handball over his head in defensive 50 in the second quarter?
Oh my god! Yeah. So live, I just because you know you react to things real time, and I knew it was going to hit the like because you sort of, you know, you just get used to players' awareness, and you just know. Soldo didn't know who was there.
Look, to be charitable, I'm assuming that he heard a voice, because that's the only explicable reason.
Yeah, maybe that's it, but I must admit, live, I went, no! Maybe, and then, oh that's
maybe
fine.
Maybe that's very kind, but...
Yeah. Look, it was a nice goal, and when we kicked that goal, I got off the chair and double fist pump, but 9 possessions here, and including that kick for goal, he had a beautiful 0 meters gained once you calculate his negative kick. So wonderful symmetry from Soldo's game.
Yeah. Look, they were the main ones for me. Maybe a shout out to Jaden Short for being his usual. Self, you know, running it over 80% effectiveness.
Yeah, look,
by foot.
Yeah, it was, and had almost 500 metres gained. Was the team leader? Yes, he was. He just got more than Cameron. I felt I was worried a little bit that in the first half that they, because of Brando, that they'd use some of our IP and they had a good game plan for us, and they did. Like they had almost a record amount of intercepts against us, especially in the first half. But inside 50 ones, and you know they had the deep flood going. But look, we worked through it, and I think that's one of the great, one of the very many admirable things about this Richmond team is we're not one dimensional. Is that we can work through games. You know, not everything goes our way, but we can work through a game where we. Challenged and the game plan's not going our way, and we can think our way through and we can assert our game plan. So look, I thought it was a very admirable win, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Well, I didn't enjoy all of this. I enjoyed that we won. And as I said at the start, the talent is starting to come into focus in a way that it hasn't for a while for the Suns. Yeah, then. They're not going to be cute and endearing for all that much longer.
Yeah. No, absolutely not. I don't know what it'd take to get Lukosh. I would throw the truck at him.
Oh, look. Speaking, because we are in, because it's mid-August, where the trade talk is already well going. How did you feel about the Graham's had a number of articles about first Adelaide and then. Essendon being interested in him. How did you feel about that?
No, I think I got more nervous after it because I'm much more a fan after this week. But look, part of me is that if he's first 22, he won't leave at that stage in his career because he's not a free agent. You know, if you look, the people we've lost other than Brand, and Brando left for an absolute truckload of money. Everyone
has
that.
And as
someone who's in a different stage in his career and just needs to cash that check, you know, like, is someone really going to back up the money track? Like, you know, I mean, Jack's current contract is based off his 2017s, and it's probably quite generous. You know, like, are you really going to, if Jack Graham's getting playing first 22, is another team really going to, you know, back up the money truck so large that entices him to leave? Oh, hard to believe still.
They might go, look, the thing that other clubs can offer in these circumstances is extra job security. You know, Corey Ellis got a 3-year deal from the Suns.
God, his manager's looking pretty good right now, getting Corey Ellis 3 years.
Yeah, Brandon Ellis got 5. You know, but it's that extra year of job security. You know, the Crows are so desperate for a culture reset that maybe they overpay for him. But yeah, I don't know. And as you say, that normally when players, you know, regular senior players, and they're not free agents, they normally stay. So, yeah, I think a lot will, if he's a contributing member of the team, as you say, I think he'll stay. So, Dreamtime.
Yes.
I'm very excited about it, being in Darwin. You know, there may be 200 Rioli relatives there, which is pretty exciting. It's going to be a pretty unique chance to connect with the community. I'm not sure what the social restrictions are going to be, but hopefully there's a decent crowd. I alternate between being smug at how badly Essendon's teams have been worried about them, you know, having us against the world. We've been criticised so much, we'll show them type performance where they, you know, flood back, we don't chances, and somehow manage to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. So, yeah. Conflicted as ever.
Yeah, look, it's a tough one, right? Like, I felt a little bit like watching a few of the Suns players afterwards that they'd played a bit of a grand final. But, you know, it's also, it's their extensive injury list I find quite comforting. Hopefully Jake Stringer will come back and be desperately unfit this week because he's quite an easy player to stereotype someone you don't like on the other team. On Dreamtime round, like, it's great Rioli, but actually the best place we could play in Indigenous round is probably Western Australia, because I think the majority of our Indigenous players are from Western Australia, aren't they?
Yeah, that's true. Well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a big difference, but...
One South Australian, one Victorian.
And two Western Australians. Three. Because you've got Bolton, Stack, and Pickett.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah.
Anyway, look, you don't need us to tell us, what round it is. Nick, as previously discussed, this is Blake Carousel is a genius. Lees Town match or casket match. They've got Truck Rutton as well. So plenty of Richmond MP there. Didn't help them last year when they got their ass kicked.
No, and look, they're not having a very good season, and their injury list is bad, and they've missed, you know, their forward line's been decimated. They have. they've had several weeks in a row of sort of, they do have good midfielders who win a lot of the ball, and they've had a couple of games where they've had the 3 or 4 possession winners on the ground, and they still haven't even come close. Like, yeah, they're an odd team.
Yeah, and the relative form was that they just, they obviously they beat the Suns, and it was a pretty even game. And, you know, realistically, you play that Suns game 10 times, we probably win 8 of the 10, you know. So, it's, and, you know, an upset is definitely possible. But look, not this week, Satan.
Oh, dear God, I hope not. It's been a while since we've had a real banana peel against Essendon. And McDonald, Tip and Woody plays badly against us for whatever reason, you know, possibly Dylan Grimes related. And so maybe he's due for a good performance against us. You know, we have certainly shown ourselves capable, as with the first quarter against the Suns, of completely butchering long periods of dominance. So, yeah, things may go wrong. And, you know, they've got probably more depth of high-profile talent in midfield as well. So, yeah, things can go wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. So coming back, we've got probably Nank sort of getting close, but I don't think he'll be ready.
He's a test, apparently.
Yeah, and it was interesting. They talked about how Soldo's through injury. So, I think when Nank gets fit, they'll definitely at least rest Soldo for a week. And the sort of the debate will continue. Who's our number one ruck? Julio, which will be interesting because we have so many competent small. You know, we've got three really competent small backs already. So accommodating him will be interesting and might force a reshuffle. And the question of feels like Caddy was omitted for discipline reasons, so it does come in after having served his penance. Like, the selection will be quite interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and look, it's a good problem to have, and you know, I think even more so than usual, it'll be a week by week proposition where players, you know, have to prove themselves to keep their spot. And, you know, Josh Caddy, reasonably high profile, two-time premiership player, can't be assured of his spot. So it's a good spot to be in.
Absolutely. And look, you know, I say this every week. I'm just so glad I've got football to look forward to this Saturday. I mean, I'd rather be going to the G to watch it. But, you know, this, as you pointed out, the thing will be special for different reasons.
Mm. And I enjoy, I enjoy beating Essendon more than almost any other club. Maybe Carlton. Like, it's right up there.
No, absolutely great. And I've said this before, but I love the Bolton jersey this year. I bought one, I'm going to be wearing it hopefully I have a nice glass of red wine. I'll win on Saturday.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're in from Tiger Talk.
The Tigers are premiers for the 12th time in their history. Best time, 4, 3, 2, 1, it's a goal, one of the Tigers.
Soldo to pick it,
whoa, what about that, a 4-3-60 in slow motion, just down the arms.
Oh, gee whiz,
he's had 4 shots on goal, and that was his worst.
Higginbotham takes the mark, it was all too much for Leon.
Well, he's an accurate set shot, the big fella. 4 out of 5 so far this year.
Make it 5 out of 6. The skipper goes and goes and then tries to lace it out, but no, he doesn't. He kicks a goal. How sweet.
sweet it is, eh? Pickett lines up.
There are alarm bells going off everywhere at the moment. Pickett's having an influence in his first game of footy.
Started with him.
Yeah. Dusty's dangerous. The swarming pressure is overwhelming.
Didn't want the body contact. He kept the body free. The pickup's unbelievable. That's a play of the game. That is a play of the game.
We underestimate the footy brain in Dustin Martin. You look at his physical ability. At champion data would tell us 7 out of the last 9 finals you can make the case for being best on ground.
We never weak until the final siren's gone. Like the tiger of old, we're strong and we're bold, for we're from Tiger, yellow and black, we're from Tigerland.
And I think they were a better team last year than they are now.